Welcome to the Holistic Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Keisha Blair, wife, mother of three, author of Holistic Wealth, and founder of the Institute on Holistic Wealth. The show will showcase various experts in the key pillars of holistic wealth. Each week, we deliver the best information on how to become holistically wealthy and live your best life. Today, I have a very, very special guest with me. I have Reverend Dr. Marisha Stewart. And Marisha is a licensed minister, author, counselor, and divorce coach, and a podcaster. Marisha, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. And so there have been so many news stories with relationships in this pandemic because of the pressure and all the mental health struggles. There's so many couples struggling. Relationships are crumbling. Even during lockdown, we've heard of so many couples who've split up during lockdown, and it's just unbelievable to see. And so I wanted to start off this podcast with getting your insights on how couples can deal with this situation when it seems like everything seems to be crumbling around. And of course, you can give us a bit of your background and story too within your response. But I would just love to start off with that because there's so many couples struggling now during COVID-19.
Yeah, we are in a time that we have never seen. However, it's not new to the earth, but it's just a time that we have and our great grandparents have experienced different viruses. But this is something new for us. And you have all of these stressors, I would say, that typically can stress a marriage. But I believe the pandemic has peeled a layer back from an onion to the point where the smell is so strong that it's unbearable. And I just believe that it is just you being locked with someone that you thought you knew that is a different person from when you walked down the aisle, or somebody you did know, but you believed in more potential than you believed in who he or she was. And so I truly believe that being locked in with someone makes you face who they are and makes you face really who you are. You know what I mean? And so in reality, sometimes when it comes to our identity and we get into a relationship, we lose who we are. And so being in the pandemic, it's just resurfaced so many different things, different emotions. And then whatever issues that a couple may have had, it just exacerbated it so much because of being locked together with someone that maybe you fell out of love with, maybe who is abusive, maybe who is not good for you, maybe who is not healthy for you, and you felt stuck. And then it may not be the fact of that the relationship was unhealthy. It could just be, I'm in a different place. I have different goals and we're not on the same roller coaster track. You know what I mean? And so there are all of these different, I would say, different scenarios that it just made the pandemic just exacerbated relationships so much that it caused stress. It caused mental health concerns and issues. It caused abuse because intimate partner violence is up during the pandemic. You know, it's caused so many other things that oftentimes people just don't know what to do.
Yes, the statistics are startling. I mean, there are statistics online where it's like a 122% increase in couples asking for advice on divorce, or couples seeking a divorce lawyer and inquiring how they can get the process started. And you're right, there's all sorts of abuse. There's child abuse too. And so it's unbelievable how this pandemic has taken its toll on people. And I know this is your expertise, and I just wanted to get your insights too on how you overcame it, because I know that around the time that you accepted the calling on your life to be a minister and to join the ministry, you also went through a divorce, a painful and traumatic divorce. And, you know, it led you into your purpose. But even before then, I just want to get a sense from you of how you overcame this.
So it definitely was my faith. It wasn't an easy roller coaster ride, and trauma typically isn't, because you don't know the hills, you don't know the valleys, you just don't know what's ahead, you don't know the turns. And so you just don't know how it will impact you. And so I was with my ex for a span of 24 years. Since the age of 18, he was the only one that I was with. And it really, it was just devastating for somebody to come out and say, I never wanted to be married. It wasn't the first time I heard it. I heard it right after my son was born and right after we got married, which was crazy. But we moved on from it. But whatever that thing was, he literally just didn't want to do it. And he decided to live the lie, and he lived the lie. And unfortunately, I was a part of it, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And so I myself struggled with mental health issues and depression and suicidal ideation. Even though I'm a Christian, you know, I struggle with those thoughts. I struggle with my mental health. My physical health I took care of, but my mental health needed help. And oftentimes as Christians, we fail to do that piece. We fail to go see someone that can help us with our mental health. And so that is something that I did. But I also realized I wanted to know why the attack was so great on my life. I had a plan of what I was going to do. It went in between kind of active and passive. However, God just had, he had just said to me, like, the reason why the attack is so great is because of the calling on your life to help other women work through this emotional trauma. Because if you don't work through the emotional trauma, then residue builds. And as residue builds, we stay in this cycle and don't become residue free. And then don't allow ourselves to heal and go into a relationship whole. You know what I mean? And so that is kind of what helped me to get out of it, and along with therapy and along with my faith. I had a lot of support. My pastors were there for me. My best girlfriends were there for me. My parents were there for me. My parents didn't know in the beginning, because divorce brings a lot of shame, you know, especially when you've been with someone so long. For me, I thought everything was okay. I did feel he was slipping away some years prior. And I just thought it was, you know, middle age crisis. It seems as if every time he turned a certain age, he went through this thing, right? And so, you know, I dealt with shame where I didn't want people to know, but then I had to let it go. I had to really look and see for myself, who was Marisha? You know, because we lose ourselves. And that's the piece that I wanted to find again. I wanted to find me.
Yes. No, that's very powerful, because I was in a slightly different situation. I was widowed at 31, but you do lose once you get married and your identity is almost wrapped up in someone else. Once that fades for whatever reason, you know, whether it's divorce or widowhood, you have to find yourself again. You have to figure out that new person and how you want to live. And so it's just unbelievable hearing your story. And I know for people listening in who are going through a rough time right now, they may be having suicidal thoughts or suicide ideation. I just wanted to ask you about that, just a bit more, to share what that's like and how you know you need to get help. And you mentioned a very fundamental point. I was raised in a Christian home. My husband is a pastor's child. I am a pastor's child. And as Christians, we don't tend to talk about this as much, you know, and when we do, we sweep it under the carpet and say, go pray, or, you know, go ask God to take it away from you. And this is why I love having you on today, because, you know, spiritual self-renewal is such an important part of holistic wealth. Like, I talk about that in my book, Holistic Wealth, a lot. And so I want to delve into that topic with you about, number one, you know, the suicidal thoughts, how to recognize them, how to know when you need help. And even as a Christian, like, how to shrug that notion that you should be able to do this all by yourself and just pray. How do we begin to talk about this, Marisha? Any tips and strategies that you can give would be amazing.
So it's interesting. So I'm also a school counselor, high school at that. And so I deal with students all the time who deal with suicidal ideation. And then I had my moment where I was dealing with it. And it's so interesting, because it's easy to give advice, but then in the same regard, you don't think about that same advice for yourself. You know, I had a young man who, he had dealt with suicidal ideation before, and it wasn't in the moment, but he was just talking about it. And I said to him, I just asked him a weird question. He was like, where is this going? So I had asked him, do you know if your mom had ever had any miscarriages or stillbirths or even abortion. And he said, yeah, my mom did. She had a few miscarriages, actually. And I was like, hmm. And I asked him this question, and I said to him, why wasn't that you? And he said to me, that's a good question. And I didn't want him to answer it. I wanted him to meditate on that, because I truly believe that we have to really understand that there's a reason why we are taking up this air that we're breathing. There's a reason why we're here on this earth. There's also something in us that gives us the strength to go through the things that we have gone through. Like, everybody doesn't go through the exact same thing, but I truly believe that God gives us something, right? He gives us something to help us to go through the things that we go through. And they're not in vain. So I truly believe there's purpose in our pain. And so my piece is, there's a reason why you're here on earth. And that is what God had to really help me deal with. And that is what therapy had to help me deal with. You go back to, why am I here? You know, let go of what was done to me, because that right there, we internalize that and make that our identity. And it's not. And unfortunately, that's what we do. We take those things on. It's not who I am. The rejection is not who I am. The divorce is not who I am. I need to let that go and realize, what is my purpose? Why am I here? God, why are you allowing me to go through this? Because I'm not going through it for nothing. I'm going through it for a reason. And what is that reason? And so that is typically what I try to help even my students try to realize, because I truly believe when you have a history, when you've gone through something, when you've overcame something, you have the ability, you have the skill set to help somebody in that regard versus somebody who's never had that experience. You know, it's so similar with Alcoholics Anonymous. When you're in this group, you're in a group of people who have experienced the exact same thing you had on various levels. You know what I mean? And so even if it was a divorce group or a widow group, whatever it is, we all have had different experiences, and you bounce off of each other your lessons. You bounce off of each other the things that you've gone through, wins, the blessings, even in the midst. And as a result, you don't feel alone. That's the biggest piece. The biggest piece is realizing you don't feel alone. And suicidal ideation, most people make you feel like you're the only one going through it. And they're not. You know, life has its buttons, and anybody can be pushed. You know what I mean? The question is, do you have support? Do you have people around you? And are you willing to get help that you need?
How can people know when they're at that point where they absolutely need to seek help and seek help soon? Is there a point that they should be able to recognize that, okay, I'm at breaking point now and I need to get help?
So there's a difference between active and passive suicidal ideation. If you are dealing with that breaking point of active suicidal ideation, where you're having those looping thoughts and those looping thoughts won't go away, and they have started to, you've started to create a plan, you need to seek help. And I do believe people feel shame because of what they feel. But most of the time, what they feel is just honest because of what they're going through and what they feel like they can't handle. And so really just seeking help, they'll be provided the tools that they need in order to figure out what's going on within. You know what I mean? And that's really all therapy is. Therapy is trying to help you figure out the answer. You already know this in you. That's what therapy is supposed to do. Therapist is not supposed to tell you do XYZ, XYZ, and then all of a sudden, wham. No. Therapist is supposed to pull out this toolkit, show you which tools are helpful and what they could be used for. And then you have to figure out what tools are good for you in order for you to figure out the answer that's already in you.
It's so amazing with relationships that one minute you can think everything's okay, and the next minute it's like a war zone, and it's unbelievable. So I'm wondering, for you, what you took, and in terms of the lessons and how you came out of the divorce, what did you learn about yourself coming out of it? And what lessons did you take coming out?
So one of the lessons that I learned, that there was purpose in what I experienced. Another lesson is I had to learn how to water myself. I really wasn't loved the way I would say Ephesians 5:25, you know, a husband is supposed to love his wife the way Christ loves the church. I wasn't loved in that way. I knew he loved me, but he did not love me in that way. And so when it ended, I didn't feel love. And so I literally had to go through these steps. Like God brought me through, and these were my lessons. I had to learn how to experience God's love for me because I just didn't feel loved. I felt loved, you know, from my parents. I felt loved from my friends, but there was a hole that I needed to fill. And I knew God could be the only one. Then the second thing, I had to figure out how to love me. And I needed to figure out how to water myself in a way where I got back to Marisha. You know, I wore a lot of hats. You know, I believe I change, and that's what we do in relationships. We change. We change so much for the other person to accommodate, and then it's not reciprocated. And so I changed so much. And so I had to get back to me. I had to figure out what type of water I needed for me and not allow the rejection to be my identity, you know? And then I had to be open to love again, you know? And oftentimes when you've been rejected, you know, there's that saying, hurt people hurt people. And when you've been rejected, oh, you can reject others. And so whatever that thing is, it's so easy to reciprocate it back to what was done to you. But how could I be? I had to learn also how to be open to love again and not assume, is this person going to reject me? Am I going to be with this person? Are they going to tell me they never want? Like, am I going to keep looking back like Lot's wife? Like that is the thing that God kept instilling in me. I need you to stop looking back like God, Lot's wife. I don't need you to turn into a pillar of salt, because you stay stuck. When you stay stuck, you can't get out of that and you can't move forward. You can't be whole into a new relationship. You know what I mean? And so those are the things that God dealt with me on.
That's amazing. And, you know, since, you know, this pandemic started, we've been having like our Zoom family sessions, our extended family around the world. And the millennials, especially the millennial women in the group, you know, have been asking kind of like the older experienced women about marriage because they're so interested and they're so fearful when they see relationships crumbling around them. And one of the questions they've come back with time and time again that I also wanted to ask you about was there's this issue around millennial women and their whole independence. And for some reason, they're not attracted to giving up this independence in a marriage situation. There's a part in the Bible too that I hear them asking about over and over again, where it says a wife should yield to her husband, and they want to know to what extent, and what if he's a bum? What if he's not treating me right? What if he's not giving me the type of love that the Bible talks about? And I wanted to ask you about that for women who are looking at marriage as an option, especially millennial women. What advice would you have for them with regards to that, especially with the way, you know, we've seen relationships crumble during this pandemic?
So I truly believe, that's really interesting. But I truly believe, millennials, that's a whole new generation that's not my generation, but I get it. But I truly believe if you meet someone and you two are equally yoked, if you are on the same level, same page, you're bringing the same thing, you're connecting. If he is everything that you've ever asked the Lord for, I don't think it'll be an issue. I think, unfortunately, I think that sometimes we as females can make it an issue. But if everything is there, why is that important? You truly can find someone who doesn't have that same attitude. You know what I mean? Definitely generations are different. And even the millennial males, right? You can't necessarily say that they have that kind of attitude, you know, like older generations. But I truly believe millennials can find people who they're compatible with. I think it's all about compatibility. But what I've learned is sometimes you can be compatible in 20, but at 40, you might not be.
And that's interesting. That's so interesting. And so, Marisha, you became a single mom, and that must have been hard. I know firsthand how hard that can be, even just mentally and emotionally. And when you put in the financial part, that may also be difficult. That can even make it worse. And so I wanted to hear from you how you made it as a single parent on one income, and how did you do financially? How did you cope? And especially with the emotions that you were going through with your own breakup and your own divorce and in your faith, like, how did you make that work? How was it for you with making it with one income?
Very interesting question, because the first time my ex brought it up, I had just had my son. And at the time I was a sign language interpreter, freelance, had no benefits. I was on his benefits. I was on his health insurance, you know, and I was at a place where financially I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do if we stay separated. I don't know what I'm going to do. However, I did say to myself, I said, he did this to me once. If he ever does this to me again, I will be financially broke. Not realizing 13 years later, it would resurface. And it did. And by that time, the first time that he wanted to separate, and we did for about 8 months, that prompted me to go back to school. I had already had my bachelor's. I had wanted to be a pediatrician, but it just didn't work out. And I had wanted to be a speech pathologist because I was fluent in sign language. That didn't work out. And then I was like, I needed somebody to encourage me to get my master's. And I was like, I don't know what for, but it was at the perfect time. And so I went back. I got my master's in school counseling with an emphasis in mental health. And then I loved grad school so much, I went and got my doctorate. And so because of that valley I was in, it prompted me to go back to school. And so when it rolled around again, when my son was about 13, I would say I was financially ready, because I knew, I said it to myself, and I didn't think that I would go through it again, but unfortunately I did. And I was financially okay, full-time school counselor. And then I had started teaching adjunct as a professor. So I was okay, because I wanted to be in a place where whether you give me money or you don't, I wanted to be okay. I only have one son. I wanted another. My son prayed for another. I wanted a girl. My son put pictures up in a room. He wanted a sister, but God just never allowed me to get pregnant. I wasn't on birth control, but God just knew what was coming down the pipe. And so for me, I was blessed in that regard, that I could financially take care of me and my son.
You know, that's amazing. And such a touching story too. And I just love this story, because there's so much there that people can learn from. And I've been connecting with so many women who've said that to me, even just this week, about moving from pain into purpose. And so I just wanted to get those lessons from you in terms of how women can move from pain to
purpose. So the biggest piece is, I met this lady. I had an interview with this lady. Her name is Tarina Ollie. And she said, the pillow does not lie. And we have to take the mask off, and we got to deal with that's doing the work. I think the shift comes when we let go of what happened to us and just identify that it went through us, but it didn't happen to us. You know, and when you can say, I experienced it, but it didn't happen, you know, I'm not going to take it on. When you don't take it on, then you can take the mask off and you can really do the work. You know, we must learn to flow with the river, and flowing with the river sometimes requires us to take the mask off, really realize what happened, realize the faults on their side and our side, because it's still two sides, right? I had to deal with some things that I may have said that maybe, you know, I truly believe there were some things that I said that manipulated my ex to marry me. However, I didn't put a gun to his head. You know what I mean? But in the same regard, like, those words came back up. Like, well, I remember what you said to me. And so, you know, that's something that I have to work on. And so even in regards to my emotional roller coaster, I had to do the work. I couldn't just keep complaining about it. I couldn't just keep saying he did that to me, right? And I had to shift my focus on really getting my mental health, my emotional health together. And that's the piece. And that is when you are ready to take a step, left foot, right foot, right? And not looking back. And that is the shift. When you make the shift, then you will realize, oh, I can turn the page. Oh, there is another chapter in this journey. Oh, there is more for me down the road. Oh, you know, and so It's all about the work and doing the work and not running from it, you know, and that's what's key.
When you talk about that shift in identity too, for a lot of women, we get so wrapped up in our spouse's identity. So in my book, Holistic Wealth, I mentioned that most of us transition into adulthood, not having gained a sense of our own personal financial identity. We get influenced by others around us, whether it's a spouse or friends or parents. And so we end up not having a sense of our own personal financial identity. And I know you've taken that quiz. And I just wanted you to share with us your results and any thoughts you have on that. Because I know whether it's divorce for women or widowhood, we come out and we realize that, you know, we have to almost find ourselves again. And we also have to develop the confidence in ourselves too, with our financial goals as well. So there's the emotional aspect for sure, the mindset, and of course, there's the financial aspect. And so, Marisha, if you could share your thoughts on that, on your results, that would be amazing.
When I got it, and so it came out risk take, and that's interesting. And even the questions where I would say were interesting too, because, you know, I don't impulsively spend. That's really never been me, but I've always been a risk taker. So like if it's like any type of entrepreneur idea, thought, if I believe that I could do it, I tried. And I've always been that way. But that's only, you know, my mom instilled in me when I was little that I could do whatever I wanted to do. I just needed to make it up in my mind and do it. And so I've always believed that. I believe that. I was in college and I stopped for a minute and I went and got my manicuring license and my dad was mad at me. But I went back to school and got my, you know, I got my AA and my bachelor's. And even during that time, I had studied to be a professional clown. I had a clown business for a moment. My clown name was Shampoo. I've always been creative. And during my transition of when I was separated, started a paint party business. I was called Paint Diva. And now I'm a podcaster, you know. I've always, you know, my girlfriends always say, you always trying something. Always been a risk taker. I've always, you know, always done that. But financially, though, I can't say I'm always a risk taker. You know what I mean? But I literally am when it comes to pursuing my goals and my dreams. And I will try it. I definitely.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And it's great. I love the fact that women who are listening in can take from your story and think about the ways that they can take some risks too, even if they're scared of taking those risks, because you came out of it, you came out of that situation and tried and did many different things, which is amazing. And I mean, some of the examples that you've given are potentially ideas for others, for things that they can start as well. And so, Marisha, before we end, I just wanted to ask you to share your thoughts about helping and how couples can also help each other through this crisis that we're faced with. And I know it's difficult on each person individually. Some people have lost jobs. Some people have lost family members. Some people have been demoted, you know, and it's unbelievable. We're doing online learning. Some people are homeschooling. I know I'm homeschooling 3 kids. It's not easy. It's a time where we have been stretched in so many ways as individuals. It really does feel like a test. And so a test of your endurance, a test of your resilience. And so if you have any words of advice for couples who are soldiering on and they're hanging on and could deal with a dose of inspiration, a dose of motivation, any words that you have would be greatly appreciated.
So I believe, and you mentioned tests multiple times, but a test, you have to have a test before you can have a testimony. And even though the one thing we have to realize is that in this life, we will always have tests. I think this one is the most challenging on every level. But in life, we're always going to go through things. We will never, ever live where there's not something going on. There's not someone dying. There's not someone, you know, we will always have. I truly believe that if families would talk more about issues, then when the test came, we would be able to stand. even when it comes to death, it's just not something that we talk about. We don't really talk about, especially in certain cultures, because we're afraid to talk about it. But in the same regard, or we're afraid to talk to our kids about it. But in the same regard, grandparents are going to pass. Family members are going to pass. Like, these are conversations that need to happen. And I truly believe as couples, families, we need to get back to family time and really sit down and have conversations with no phones. You know, I don't know what millennials are going to do when it comes to relationships, because that is a lost art. A lost art is that communication piece. And so when you sit down and really talk about what's going on, maybe set aside once a week and have family time and talk. Maybe the couples have their own couple time and then maybe have time with the kids. But I truly believe that's something that needs to happen. There needs to be a time in the week that we can sit down and talk about what's going on with us, what's going on in my life personally, mentally, spiritually, and share it, right? And share it with one another. And if there's a disconnect, see how we can figure it out as a family. And if we can't, go find help. You know what I mean? And maybe help that is unbiased, somebody that the couple does not know. You know what I mean? So there, it doesn't seem as if, well, we're coming here because you know her, that's your sister's friend, you know, all of that. Somebody who's unbiased, somebody that, you know, doesn't know the husband or the wife, and really try to work through the issues. But I think that is really what is needed. We need more family time to really talk about different things, talk about. And especially when you practice that with children, then children will figure out, okay, I remember when mom and dad sat us down and they dealt with, the pipe burst in the house. And it was really stressful. But then I remember we sat down, we talked about da, 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 you know, and so they will start to learn how to handle different tests, because that is, unfortunately, by me being a school counselor, I see this all the time. Our young people don't know how to, there's no conflict resolution, right? They don't know how to handle conflicts, because all I got to do is text my mom and my mom will get me out of this. My mom will help me. And so as a result, they don't know how to do things on their own, but tests and trials will come up. But if we can come together as a family unit and as couples and really sit down and talk about our differences. And I think even if there are differences with the couple, even if we are, you know, our goals are going in different directions, sit down and talk about it. Because really, honestly, what I had to learn, my girlfriend said this to me and I was a little salty about it, but it's so true. Everybody has a right to not want to be in a relationship anymore. Everybody has that right. You know what I mean? We feel like, oh, I gave them my time. I gave them two babies. I gave them. But really, honestly, we have a right to say no. We have a right to say, you know, I don't know if this is really what I want, and be okay with it. But that's, again, these are conversations that we really need to have in order for us to work through these trials and tribulations that we go through, you know? And so that's kind of my piece. We need to have family time.
Yeah, no, that's amazing and great words of advice, Marisha. And for those who want to connect with you or to find you on social media, where can they find your website and social media?
So my website is www.iamthelionessqueen.com. And then on Facebook, Lioness Queen, on Instagram, Reverend Dr. R-E-V-D-R, Lioness Queen. You can find me at Lioness Queen everywhere.
Okay, perfect. And thank you so much for joining us again, Marisha. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much for having me. This was awesome.
Thank you for joining us this week on Holistic Wealth with Keisha Blair. Make sure to visit our website, keishablair.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS, so you will never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Are you a member of the Institute on Holistic Wealth? If not, what are you waiting for? Go to instituteonholisticwealth.com/memberships to choose your membership plan and join. As a member, you get so many perks. Free worksheets, advice, coaching, and a member's workshop to design an intentionally designed life. You need to figure out your life purpose? Take the Build Your Life Purpose Portfolio online self-paced course. You're struggling with all your money decisions? Take the free financial identities quiz and then take the course. You recently had a breakup, job loss, or experienced the death of a loved one? Take the holistic healing course. You need an overall plan to achieve holistic wealth? We will help you figure out your holistic wealth blueprint. And of course, if you want to start making money by helping others achieve holistic wealth, become a certified holistic wealth consultant. Regardless of what career you've got, the Institute will show you how to increase your income and walk in your purpose. The sooner you join, the sooner you start to achieve a more holistically wealthy lifestyle. And you're going to want to stay for a very long time. So go to instituteonholisticwealth.com/memberships to join. If you haven't read the book yet, pick up a copy of the award-winning, best-selling Holistic Wealth 32 Life Lessons to help you find purpose, prosperity, and happiness.